This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello and welcome to the OpenView Podcast. I'm Kevin Kane, and today we're going to be talking about content and social media strategy with Shell Holtz. For those of you who don't know Shell, he's the principal of Holtz Communication and Technology and has nearly 35 years of organizational communications experience in both corporate and consulting environments. Shell, thanks so much for being with us here today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Kevin.
So as I alluded to earlier, we're talking today about content and social media strategy, and given your very broad expertise, you know, I wanted to start off with a really basic question, is that's just that even though you and I really believe in content and social strategy, not everyone does. You know, there still are those people who are kind of holding off and getting involved, and so I was curious to know, how do you go about convincing companies to get on the social and content strategy bandwagon when they're not already doing so?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest challenge is creating a connection in the minds of the leaders of organizations between this kind of activity and the bottom line results that they're held accountable for producing.
Right.
Far too often, people who are engaged in communications or social media or the online world present their case sort of from a tactical perspective, rather than making that link that this is the way we grow market share. This is the way we bring new customers in through that, you know, the top of the marketing funnel, or we address the kinds of challenges that are keeping you awake at night. I think, you know, there's a woeful lack of business literacy on the part of a lot of people who are engaged in the kind of work that we do, you know, who are very, very good as craftspeople, but don't really have the fundamental business knowledge that allows them to make that business case. The more we can help our leaders understand that these are the things that are going to contribute to those bottom line goals that the board of directors or the owner of the organization are expecting from you, the easier it's going to be to launch these kinds of initiatives and get more engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. But what would you recommend to really an expansion stage company where, you know, they have to make a significant investment to get their social and content strategies off the ground, and it's not going to be an immediate return on investment, right? So how do you kind of get people to buy and hold, I guess, until such time as they can really see the payoff?
Yeah, I think there are a variety of different approaches that you can take to that. One is to not make that significant investment at first and do some pilot projects where you can show, you know, some demonstrable wins that maybe aren't monumental, but sort of highlight the path that you could be taking in order to achieve those. I was just engaged in a conversation with Niall Cook, who used to run digital at Hill & Knowlton, the PR agency out of the UK. And he pointed out that the corporate blogs that they have started, which are written by thought leaders in the organization, are driving more traffic and coming up in more search engines than their institutional website. You know, because what they're talking about is what's relevant to the audiences that they're trying to reach who are conducting searches on those things. So, you know, if you just start off with a couple thought leader blogs, which you can do, let's face it, on WordPress, and your investment is the time of the thought leaders in crafting this, and you can start to show what that's doing for traffic and engagement with your community and the discovery of your organization. I'll give you a great example. There's a company called Indium Corporation that most people haven't heard of, and there's no reason why they should have. They work in solder flux for the semiconductor industry. But they started blogging, thought leaders talking about some very detailed dimensions of the solder flux industry, and they have increased their business by a factor of three or four times, wow. Because now they're being discovered by people who are looking for answers to questions or information that deals with these really highly technical issues. So that's a content strategy that has driven people who may not have been aware of the organization before to discover them, which has led to increased revenue and increased market share. So, you know, if you could launch a pilot program that tackles one specific thing that the organization is trying to do using some of these free or low-cost tools, demonstrate the benefit that accrues to the organization out of that, and use that sort of as the launching pad for expanding the program, it's easy to get buy-in that way. I think you have to demonstrate that these things can produce the kind of results that you're talking about rather than just talking about the craft or the tactic itself.
Sure. So is there a specific social strategy that you would recommend starting off with to complement that content strategy you outlined?
Well, I think the key word you just used there is strategy, which means that you're coming up with an approach to achieve a goal. So I think it starts with understanding what the organization's goals are. And I think, you know, this is part of the problem is that too many people who are engaged in this line of work want to jump into, you know, a Facebook strategy, what they'll call, or a Twitter strategy, or, you know, I'm even hearing now a Pinterest strategy.
Right.
Those are tools that you apply to the objectives that you have set. And objectives are those measurable, achievable, time-bound, discrete activities that are going to support that larger strategy. So it really starts with identifying what the business goals are. I'm frequently dismayed by the number of people that work in organizational communications who don't know what are the five business goals that we're trying to achieve this year, or what is this year's business plan, and they're not able to align their communications. And let's face it, this is communications that are both social and digital along with traditional. They're not able to align those with those goals if they don't know what those goals are. So it starts with identifying what are the goals that the leaders of the organization are held accountable to, what is keeping them awake at night, what is the business plan, and then how can we craft a strategy that employs social and digital in support of those goals. And that means identifying the broad approach that you're going to take using these channels, then setting the measurable objectives for them, and then determining which tools are going to be appropriate for that. So, you know, it's not we ought to be blogging. It's that our goal is X. The strategy we're employing to support that is going to incorporate the following objectives. And in order to achieve those, we think that a Facebook approach would apply really well, and here's how. So it's not that you want to look at a platform necessarily. You want to look at what it is the organization is trying to achieve and what the communication challenges are around that.
Well, let's assume for a minute that we have an organization that has its goals in place and already has done some of these pilots that you recommend. What's the best way for them to kind of scale that strategy over time? Is it adding more types of social channels? Is it, you know, getting the right sort of resources in place, whether bodies in the company or otherwise? How do you really grow it over time?
Well, I think, first of all, to put together some sort of a central hub for the big picture social and digital activities in the organization is going to help, because as you're looking at the tools that you're going to use to support the work that you're doing, you'll be making those decisions with an eye toward scaling them up down the road. So, for example, you know, you might start with Hootsuite. You would look at and say, oh, that'll really help us. But, you know, down the road, maybe you need to upgrade to Sprinklr. And somebody is studying that and looking at the scale of the operation that you've got going and making these assessments and you know, centralizing the purchase, you know, the acquisition of the technology, that kind of decision making. What I see in a lot of organizations is all of this stuff is dispersed and decentralized, and as a result, you have one organization doing a deal with this provider and another one doing a deal with that provider. You end up with 8 or 10 different conflicting systems. That's what doesn't scale, right? What scales is when somebody's being mindful of what the organization needs and making those decisions for the entire organization, able to deploy them out to the business unit so that they can operate more or less discreetly within this larger framework. And they don't have to worry about, oh my God, what we acquired, you know, isn't working now that we have 20 communities instead of 2. And we've already blown our budget on the tool that we're using. So I think it's thinking of this thing, you know, more strategically, more holistically, as opposed to just a set of tools that different functions in the organization have access to based on their own discretion.
Sure, absolutely. You know, one of those tools or social media channels that you touched on a minute ago was Pinterest. And I think Pinterest is something that we've all heard of now, but probably 6 months or a year ago, most of us haven't. I think Instagram's another example. You know, Facebook's acquisition really brought them in the spotlight recently. It seems to me that there's just ever more social media channels popping up, and I wonder if your view, you know, there's always going to be more, and it's going to sort of be an endless process, and we're always going to take on more and more, or if at some point we're going to get to a finite group that we use and the others sort of fall away. Do you have sort of a future view?
Well, yeah, and I think there will continue to be new categories, and you have to evaluate them, again, based on your strategy. Is using them going to help support the strategy? Is this a place where your audience is going, which means that you can't ignore it for that reason? And, you know, in the case of Pinterest and Instagram, I think they both fit into a new category of sort of image-based or storytelling. We're starting to experience the world to a certain extent visually with a stream of images. I mean, that's exactly what Instagram is just a stream of images. I found myself the other night, I got back from a business trip very late. I get out to where I'm parked, and I find out I have a flat tire, picked up a nail, I guess, when I was driving through the parking lot. And I shot a picture of the flat tire and then put it on Instagram. Is it great photography or great art? No, but it's people experiencing the world through the sharing of these. Actually, a lot of them are very mundane images, and why do we love it? Yeah, I think we're kind of hardwired to experience the world visually, and have moved away from that based on the fact that we're more or less bound to our desks and our couches. Right, we don't get out into the world as much as people did, even 60, 70 years ago, but, you know, certainly longer ago than that. And these new technologies are giving us the opportunity to do that again through the images that people are sharing through these digital and social channels. So it's a new category. And can you afford to ignore it as people embrace it simply because you feel that you're maxed out on the categories and the channels and the platforms you're using now? No, you know, I mean, yeah, certainly you have limited resources, but you have to start to, you know, sort of jigger those around based on where you need to be. I think there are ways that you can determine whether a new property, a new channel, or even a new category is worth your attention. I mean, you know, first of all, you look at Instagram and Pinterest, and people are talking about them outside the fishbowl, right? You know, we hear a lot of gushing over new platforms inside the fishbowl. Remember Empire Avenue,
right,
for example? Or I posted a tweet saying, I'm still getting my daily updates from Empire Avenue. Is anybody still using that? And somebody answered my tweet saying, you know, you should ask that question on Quora. and another one that got a lot of attention inside the fishbowl that nobody outside the fishbowl had ever heard of. You know, it's still there, and it's still useful, but, you know, does my wife's hairdresser know about it? No, but she knows about Pinterest, and she knows about Instagram. So, yeah, as the general public really starts to use these, I think you have to look at that as an indicator. You know, other things as well. I mean, are people spending a fair amount of time on it? Pinterest, the average session is 10 minutes. That's, you know, an eon in the context of how much time people spend on any given site or property.
Sure.
You know, and I think there are, you know, are rules of etiquette emerging around it. Has mainstream media adopted it? Has mainstream business gone to it? You know, we're seeing companies like PepsiCo and Red Bull among those are starting to get Instagram accounts going, because if they can show interesting enough imagery, you know, whatever it might be, behind the scenes, inside baseball, you know, Red Bull, it could be around the kind of extreme sports lifestyle that they promote. People will follow that, and that's more engagement with the brand, right? Can you ignore it? You know, at your peril, if it's something that, you know, people have really latched onto and resonates, and there's an opportunity strategically to apply it so that it really does contribute to the achievement of business goals.
Sure, sure. Shel, this has been really interesting. I definitely appreciate the insights you shared with our audience today. Before I let you go, can you just let our audience know how they can get in touch with you if they want to?
Sure. I mean, Holtz.com is the center for all of my online activities. I've got links to all of the other places that I'm engaged, my posturist blog, my regular blog, all of the other places where I'm, you know, making contributions, and it's all there, just Holtz.com.
Great. Thanks so much, Shel, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.